Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. The brain massage show is ready to go. Get ready. Your brain is about to get a massage.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur, massaging the gray matter, freeing the mind from liberal lies, breaking the hold of the father of lies upon the mind of all within the sound of my voice. Okay, Paul Revere's lantern lighter here, lighting the lanterns in the church belfry arch that signal the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. Well, folks, have we a fox in the hen house? You know, Fox News has been something of a godsend to many of us who, well, just want their news reported and not commented on all the time. You know what I mean? When we talk about news reports, we want news reports. The bias of the nets, ABC, NBC, CNN, and so forth, well, is well documented. I've brought it to your attention several times along the way. There are some resources now available, and they do nothing else but monitor these mainstream media organizations and flag for our attention those obvious examples of bias. And they do this as a way of keeping their feet to the fire. And I think that's a good service. I mean, nowadays with guys setting their shorts on fire in an effort to blow up airplanes, I think it is important to make sure we're not misunderstood when I make a statement about holding their feet to the fire anyway. Many Christian people I know, and I know some, tend to appreciate Fox News because, well, because they are at least fairly consistent with their slogan, we report, you decide. You know, at least the Fox News outlet has been willing to take an honest look at Obama, for example, when virtually all of the major news outlets are so obviously the tank for that character. It is, folks, any claim they've ever had for unbiased journalism is a joke. I mean, it's like watching Obama propaganda news service, or as Rush likes to call them, the state-controlled media, or as I call them, the Marxist socialist media, or as I also call them, and my wife's personal favorite, the mostly stupid media. Anyway, but I wonder if we have not let the fox into the hen house. An apt analogy, by the way, since Jesus illustrated his love for his people as that of a hen calling her chicks to take cover under her wings. Anyway, I know a significant number of my listeners are not Christian, and I know how odd it is for you to hear such, Christian talk on a secular public radio station. It's shocking to your ears at first. Sort of like when Brit Hume used the C word recently, you know, the word Christian, and all the talking heads started skipping and distorting like old Max Headroom. Remember him? Really, did you say Christian? Oh, bummer. If you watch close, I think you'll notice their head actually kind of wiggles and shakes and distorts and swells just a bit. You have to look close. But anyway, I'll get to that in a minute. Christians have, at least the kind that still believe the Bible has at least some validity in their lives. You know, those Lutherans are throwing it out. Most of the mainline denominations have tossed it out long ago. But there does continue to be a significant number of Christians who actually believe the book. And usually these people also believe in a concept called truth. I'm talking capital T truth, you know, unlike most today who think that truth is whatever you need to say or even believe at the time in order to get what you want or to get people to do what you want them to do. Okay? What did Obama call us? Many of these God-clingers, these gun-toters, anyway, something like that. Many of these people have turned to Fox News for reporting that is at least somewhat nostalgic of what it used to be, you know, reporting the news. But check out their programming, man. Have we let the fox into the hen house? A while back, I brought to your attention some of the show content in certain Fox broadcasts that promoted that sick homosexual lifestyle. A homosexual advocacy group has compiled a list of United States television networks, and they've ranked the list according to the amount of broadcast time each network gives to the favorable portrayal of homosexuality. You're probably not surprised that ABC, the Allahu Barak Company, is number one, with 24% of its programming promoting the disturbing and disease-ridden lifestyle of homosexuality. And Fox is number three on that list. Nevertheless, Fox was chastised by GLAAD, and that's the people who put together this list, and that is the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. And they chastised Fox for having, quote, aired some problematic representations of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, end quote, lifestyle. In other words, Fox went ahead and showed some of the truth, at least, about how miserable these people really are. Boy, these guys keep the pressure on. Fox went from, listen to this, 4% of their broadcast time being devoted to the promotion of homosexuality to 11% in their positive portrayals of this deviant behavior. But anyway, Fox amended their ways since the last report, and now they've earned the number three post on the list of networks most friendly to the perverted lifestyle of homosexuals. So anyway, I've mentioned this problem before, and I have also pointed out the common sense warning of where this is going to lead us. And I have warned my audiences many times that embracing homosexual culture is embracing pansexuality. And what we need to understand, friend, is that the idea of a monogamous, stable homosexual relationship is a myth. I see your eyes rolling. Wait, let me put my mind reading hat on. Dial in your brain. Oh, hold on. But there you are, scoffing that heterosexual marriages are falling apart at a rate of over 50% a year. Ha! You say. Ha! So much for your stable heterosexual marriages. Scorn, scorn. You guys don't listen. That's your problem. What I'm saying is that stable homosexual marriages is a myth. Because in the homosexual culture, most homosexuals don't even aspire to anything like a committed, exclusive relationship. The few who do are not even themselves really committed to the ideal of permanent, sexually exclusive relationships for life. Go ahead and ask them, have you ever noticed that they never talk about sexual exclusivity in their relationships as being an ideal or a moral value? You know, so long as they feel like remaining exclusive in the relationship, well, they will, but they don't commit and make any vow of exclusivity in a marriage relationship in the way that Christians do. While marriage is, generally speaking, in serious trouble today, no doubt of that. I mean, divorce is way too common and terribly too common among Christians. Destroying the foundation from under the feet of the children and tearing down the structure that holds our society together is not a good thing, whether Christians do it or non-Christians. Listen, the whole idea of marriage maintains order in our society and culture and stability. And my friend, one of the reasons marriages are in so much trouble today is because, well, frankly, so many are buying into the homosexual kind of attitude towards sex. The point is, homosexuality is, by its definition, a repudiation of the whole concept of chastity and exclusivity in marriage and infidelity and so on. Sex is that which defines family. It is that means by which a bond is created that connects two people for life, providing a stable family base upon which children may be reared by two loving adults, each representing one of the two genders of humankind. You can't get a better program than the one, well, God created. But anyway, Fox stepped onto the slippery slope and has begun their own slide into the sewers of this aberrant, unnatural, miserable lifestyle. And as I have said, and by the way, many, many others who still have use of their common sense have also said that if this culture opens its arms to homosexuality, it will have let down a very important barrier, a God-ordained barrier to all sorts of disturbing sexual deviancies, such as, well, for example, NAMBLA, North American Men Boys Love Association. You can imagine what that's about, encouraging pedophilia. Sadomasochism is another sad sickness that afflicts the soul of some men and women who have abandoned their natural instincts and who have been warped and twisted into, well, something like sexual insanity. And then now, bestiality, my friends. Oh, yeah. I've had people actually scoff at me, not homosexuals, by the way, but people who call themselves Christians. Boy, is that word ever thrown about loosely these days. I mean, it is so corrupted. And yet, interestingly, how it still packs a powerful lot of explosive emotional response when it's used publicly. But anyway, Really, I've had people who call themselves Christians scoff at me that, well, it's nonsense to say that accepting homosexuality in our culture is going to lead to accepting bestiality or other bizarre forms of deviancy. You know, when, on the other hand, when I make this point to homosexuals, oh, their response, of course, depends entirely on the context of the statement. If they're trying to save face in a mixed company, well, they'll protest. But if I'm in a private conversation and a homosexual happens to hear me say this, or if I say it to them directly, you know what I get? They don't roll their eyes. You know what? They say something to the effect, well, what's your problem? Who are you to interfere with somebody's pursuit of their own pleasure? Some will laugh it off and they'll avoid discussing it. But what you need to know is this. Homosexuals as a community, now there are exceptions, of course, but homosexuals as a community are committed to the proposition that all sexual taboos are artificial impositions of what Obama once called our worn-out morals of the old people. Now listen, my friends, the homosexual culture is committed to pansexuality as a moral value, as an ideal to be encouraged. Pansexuality says anything goes, and at present, the only restriction they would place is that it must be consensual. But even that's going to go by the boards when they really get rolling. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah. But anyway, back to the point I'm making in this first segment. Do you have some very real reasons to be very really concerned about our culture being corrupted to the point that it embraces homosexuality as a norm? As I and others have said for many years now, eventually the homosexual agenda will break down the cultural resistance to other forms of sexual deviancy, like bestiality. Now, for example, on the Fox Broadcast Network, they ran a show called American Dad. On January 3rd, that's a Sunday night, American Dad presented a scene depicting bestiality between a man and a horse. It is too disgusting even to describe what they portrayed, but there you go. Now we're going to sit down and watch bestiality portrayed on our public television stations. And by the way, this show is particularly popular among children from 2 to 11 years of age. Did you hear me? This is not some late night freak show type thing. The show is popular among children from 2 to 11 years old. Who with sense thinks this is appropriate broadcasting material? I heard an old preacher warn that sometimes the greatest danger to your family comes from what people you've come to trust. Have we let the fox into the hen house here? I think we need to speak out loud and clear to these people. You're going to have to get into the fight, my dear friends, and quit sitting on the sidelines. For example, when you see something like this or hear about it, do something. You say, what can I do? Well, for one, you can take some initiative and contact these people and let them know what you think about their behavior. You can educate yourself on the issues and become active in expressing your point of view. Speak up, for heaven's sake. I'm telling you, you're going to lose your liberties, my friends. Our liberties are warranted by divine endowment. Our founders understood well the fact that if our nation turns away from our Christian heritage, we're going to lose our liberties. There are two reasons for this. First, because the rules for living provided by the Christian faith were well understood by the framers to be the only way to support the ideals and the values that support liberty and freedom in any culture or society. One simple example that really should help even the most dull Lutheran these days, who has joined that Lutheran bishop, who recently suggested that, quote, the Bible is not necessarily the final authority, end quote. How about that old-fashioned Christian value of marriage? Look how it has been destroyed by the new morality of the 60s generation. Look at the correspondence between family breakdown and the rise of every social evil you can name, including your beloved issue of poverty. My friends, pay attention. And add to that the old-fashioned idea of truth. Wow, what a concept that was. You know, remember the whole Washington, I cannot tell a lie thing? And how it was common to say honesty is the best policy? Where is that now? With Obama and his accomplices in the mainstream media lying through his teeth almost every time he shows them. If you think our representative government can continue when it's in the control of liars and perverts, you are going to find out that people who lie and cheat and who can warp their soul so that they can embrace something so obviously unnatural and disease-ridden as homosexuality. If you think these people will not lie and cheat to get whatever they want, and that they will pervert and twist and warp any moral code you throw at them that stands in their way of achieving what they want to do, even to the point of violating nature itself, if you think these folks will not destroy your liberties, You have drunk the Kool-Aid. In fact, you're drunk on it. Listen, my friends, there is another reason. Forsaking the God of our fathers will certainly bring us to bondage, to wicked and unreasonable men. It is exactly what Washington, and by the way, other Christian patriots recognized in our founding. Our liberties are a grant from our Creator. You know, Benjamin Franklin observed, if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable a nation can rise without his assistance? I mean, so can we extend this to say that if our liberties are a grant of the endowment from our Creator, well, does it make sense to offend the Creator, who is the foundation and warrantor of our rights? Think about it. Will he turn us over to bondage? Well, of course he will. I mean, it's like what Jefferson admitted when he recognized that God's justice could not long slumber while slavery continued to offend the truth that all men are created equal. I'm telling you, his patience will not long forbear his judgment upon this nation as we continue murdering innocent babies in the womb and violating his laws. By the way, these laws were called by our founders the laws of nature and of nature's God. For nature itself tells you homosexuality is evil. But anyway, today, you know, if a journalist mentions the word Christian or, well, God forbid, Jesus Christ, well, he'll be attacked. I'll be back in just a moment after a short break, and we'll think about what's going on with Brit Hume right now. My question for the first segment is this: have we let the fox into the hen house? And does this not perfectly illustrate what I've been warning everyone about for years and years? If you break down the barrier against homosexuality, every imaginable and even unimaginable sexual deviancy is gonna begin demanding legitimacy in our culture. And this will most certainly pervert the conscience of our children. A cartoon, ladies and gentlemen, enjoyed by children from 2 to 11 years old, depicting bestiality now. Do you understand what that's about? Where is this going to end? Well, I'll tell you where. It's going to end in hell. I'll be right back.
Warning. We have learned that some liberals choke on even a small piece of Pastor Scheidbach's mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lights in the belfry arch, alerting you to the enemy's movements in our society today. All right, let's get back at it. Our culture is being warped by wicked and unreasonable men and women today. Back in the 1700s through, I guess we could take it right through into about the middle of the 60s, even as late as 1965 to some degree, Christianity was regarded by all as the dominating force shaping our values and ideals. The corruption of this began a lot earlier, of course. Some major elements of anti-Christian bias were put into place in our culture and in our society way back in the late 1800s and early 1900s. But it really was in the 60s that the anti-Christian forces came up, as it were, out from the underground and declared themselves, saying they're going to take over the world, and they began openly pushing Christianity out of the public square. For some time now, it has become increasingly popular among a very vocal and politically powerful minority to openly bash Christianity and to openly assert that it has no place in the public square and no legitimate place as an influence upon our culture or politics. Now, every other religion is afforded respect and even deference, especially Muslim. Buddhism is popularly embraced and promoted by many of the so-called stars today. And there's no forgiveness or redemption in Buddhism because there is no sin or trespass in Buddhism. In fact, there's no self in Buddhism. I don't have time to explain all this, but the bottom line is that Buddhism is an exercise in denying the world in which we live, ultimately, the one that engages our senses, and it involves constructing a kind of fantasy existence, subject to each person's own creativity, of course, and then taking that that construct and superimposing it over reality, allowing every person to shape whatever beliefs they choose. Oh, kumbaya. It's supposed to be a journey from being a conscious thirster and eater to becoming enlightened to the place these harbingers of evil, thirst and desire, are finally recognized to be, well, illusions and blah, 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 blah. A bunch of Eastern mystical mumbo jumbo that was designed essentially to make miserable people feel better by telling them that their miseries are actually not real. And if they can finally look past all that and see what's real and become enlightened, none of it will matter. That's basically what it comes down to. It is perfect for modern liberals because There is no defined morality. There is no absolute truth. I mean, even reality is malleable. You can simply create your own sort of design a reality, man. And if you are successful at getting the masses to accept this nonsense, well, you can use it to keep millions of people comfortable in poverty and misery so that they have no initiative to better their lives. And the elites can throw them a little something from time to time, a little do-good charity here and there. And oh, it's emphasis on devoted respect for all sentient beings. Well, that's good for flowers and grass and bugs and stuff, because, you know, the enlightened Buddha believed all non-self entities, you know, that don't really exist, are actually united into one non-existence and all are one in the ultimate reality of non-self. And so stepping on a bug is, well, stepping on the same life force that gives you the curse of consciousness. And I'm being facetious and silly, but here's the point. Buddhism finally devalues life to meaninglessness. Anyway, it's a sort of hip thing to be Buddhist these days. It's like chic, man. Mostly because it's a way of being religious without religion. It is acceptable among the elite simply because it's the polar opposite of Christianity. And it's Eastern. It's all Eastern, mystical, formless, shapeless. That's right. And more importantly than anything else, it's anti-Western. It is interesting how many of the modern privileged class are drawn into it. I guess it makes them feel smart or something, you know, especially popular among people who feel guilty about having so much of this world's goods, satisfying their desires and their hungers and appetites that they're not supposed to have. But while so many around them have nothing. Ironically, the religion that is supposed to comfort the miserable in their misery also allows the filthy rich to ignore the miserable, with the exception of some token acts of charity. Because after all, actually, they're not really miserable. They only think they are. I mean, you know, it's just a lot of nonsense, complete with reincarnation and karma, blah, blah, blah. Oh, mercy. Anyway, bottom line is this. Brit Hume was right on when he advised Tiger to turn to Christianity for redemption. But what caught my attention is the fact that Brit Hume went ahead and said, right out loud, on the national news net, something I've been saying for many years now. And by the way, I'm certainly not the first to point it out. I mean, the observation is not original with me. I just mean that I've never heard an insider in the networks bring attention to this. And that is the fact that if you say the words Jesus Christ, people immediately begin, well, freaking out. Hume said, quote, "If you're trying to find the two most explosive words in the English language, those two words are Jesus Christ," end quote. And of course, here come the attacks. And listen, my fellow Christians, do not be alarmed at this. This is great. This is exactly what we've needed to happen for quite a long time. It affords an opportunity to set the record straight on some things about Christianity and to articulate the message of our faith. The Apostle Paul was always encouraged whenever the gospel was discussed in public, no matter what the motivation was, for one very good reason. Christianity will always come out looking great, no matter what. That is, at least if there's an honest discussion about it. Let me give you an example. Schuster on MSNBC attempted to corner Buchanan, challenging him with, quote, "Doesn't it also denigrate Christianity when you do that on a Sunday political talk show," end quote. And then he went on to say, quote, "This isn't church. This isn't some sort of holy setting. This is a political talk show." And then he went on, "Doesn't that minimize the significance of Christianity when you bring a discussion of Christianity into a conversation about politics," end quote. Isn't that interesting? Buchanan rightly corrected Schuster and said it certainly does not denigrate Christianity. And later Schuster complained, that for Hume to mention Christianity in the way that he did, quote, "diminishes the discussion of Christianity," end quote. What discussion? The only things the MSM ever actually say about Christianity, either explicitly or implicitly, is certainly not discussion, but defamation. And they are the ones who denigrate Christianity at every opportunity. And here they're doing it again, really. And then Schuster says sarcastically, quote, "This wasn't the 700 Club. This wasn't Theocracy Today," end quote. Now, that's interesting. Look at this for a minute. Listen to Schuster and see the heart of modern liberalism concerning Christianity. First, it has, in their opinion, it has no place in politics. Well, that's nonsense. our founding fathers repeatedly appealed to the tenets of Christianity and the tenets of the Bible, and the document that serves as the foundation upon which our liberties are constructed can arguably be said to be the Bible itself. But certainly no one would disagree with the statement that the Declaration of Independence has that formulation out of which has grown our liberties. And that is this: all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. So, first of all, Schuster rightly represents the Christian liberal mindset today. Christianity has no place in politics in the way they think, and that is nonsense. Second, the idea that a discussion of Christianity must be cloistered in sacred or holy halls, as he put it, and that it somehow diminishes or profanes Christianity for it to be discussed in the dirty, slimy, mud-slung streets of Washington politics. Well, actually, that is exactly where Christianity was designed to be by its creator, Jesus Christ. It was a street religion right from the beginning, a grassroots movement sort of thing. It was never meant to be limited to the Mars Hills of modern culture, discussed exclusively within the walls of a holy cathedral, or maybe when necessary to dismantle the faith of some newbie college kid, to be discussed within the walls of some philosophy or psychology class in college. Huh? Then notice that Schuster implies that a discussion of Christianity in public is inching us toward theocracy. Ooh, there's a scary word. Oh, my goodness, I wish I had more time to discuss this. I've got to begin moving toward a conclusion. This is, however, the salient point in this whole discussion. When it comes to the name of Jesus Christ, the issue is lordship, and that's why it's so controversial. You can mention Buddha, Confucius, and the rest of these guys, and you don't get anything like the reaction you get to the name of Jesus Christ. You see, the spirit that works in these children of disobedience will rise up and they'll become irrationally resistant and angry at any assertion of Jesus' lordship in this world if it's expressed or asserted beyond the walls of his church. By the way, if the worldlings can finally manage it, that will be taken care of too. Well, I've got news for Mr. Schuster and for all the rest of you listening to me right now. As far as theocracy is concerned, well, look, there has never been a time during the history of God's creation where he was not King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hello? Of course, what Schuster means is that no specific religion has the right to use political power to eliminate its competition for the mind and heart of men. In the same way, by the way, that no corporation is to have the power to use government to eliminate its competition. Something to think about? Well, we certainly agree with this, by the way. Religious freedom and all that Baptist soul liberty stuff, you know? But the fact is, Jesus is Lord of all. When he arose from the grave, he declared, quote, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Take that! Oh, yeah, it's all his, folks. We are mere stewards, holding it for him till he returns. And he will return, my friends. Now that Mr. Schuster brought it up, I mean, the theocracy thing, Jesus talked about guys like Schuster and the others, and perhaps many of you listening to me right now. And I've got to move toward a conclusion, but get a hold of this. He described it this way. He said there was this ruler who went to a far country to receive a kingdom and then return. Well, he left his goods with his stewards to take care of his business while he was gone. And while he was away, his citizens complained that they did not want him to rule over them. In fact, they told his stewards, quote, "We will not have that man to rule over us," end quote. Now, as the story goes, the ruler returns. The first thing he does is he judges his servants for their service to him. And then he says this, "Those my citizens who would not that I should rule over them, bring them here or hither and slay them before me," end quote. Whoa, where's Sweetie Pie Jesus now? Mercy. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.